You're listening to The Five Love Languages. Here once again is Dr. Gary Chapman.
What was Betty Jo saying on that spring night when I visited her and Bill in Little Rock? Bill is a good provider, but he doesn't spend any time with me. What good is the house and the recreational vehicle and all the other things if we don't ever enjoy them together? What was her desire? Quality time with Bill. She wanted his attention. She wanted him to focus on her, to give her time, to do things with her. By quality time, I mean giving someone your undivided attention. I don't mean sitting on the couch watching television together. When you spend time that way, ABC or NBC has your attention, not your spouse. What I mean is sitting on the couch with the TV off, looking at each other and talking, giving each other your undivided attention. It means taking a walk, just the two of you, or going out to eat and looking at each other and talking. When I sit on the couch with my wife and give her 20 minutes of my undivided attention, and she does the same for me, we're giving each other 20 minutes of life. We will never have those 20 minutes again. We are giving our lives to each other. It's a powerful emotional communicator of love. One medicine cannot cure all diseases. In my advice to Bill and Betty Jo, I had made a serious mistake in thinking they both spoke the same language. So I got back on the phone and thanked Bill for his efforts in the past 2 months. I told him that he had done a good job of verbally affirming Betty Jo and that she had heard his affirmations. And then I admitted my mistake, that I had suggested the wrong love language. I explained that what makes one person feel loved emotionally is not always the thing that makes another person feel loved emotionally. I told him that Betty Jo's language was not words of affirmation, but quality time. I explained the concept of giving someone your full attention and of doing something with her that she enjoys doing and doing it wholeheartedly. Like going to the symphony with her, Bill said. I could tell the lights were coming on in Little Rock. But then he told me about his climb up the organizational ladder and his accomplishments. He told me of his dreams for the future and that he knew that within the next 5 years he would be where he wanted to be. Do you want to be there alone, or do you want to be there with Betty Jo and the children? I ask. I want her to be with me, Dr. Chapman. I want her to enjoy it with me. That's why it always hurts so much when she criticizes me for spending time on the job. I'm doing it for us. I want her to be a part of it, but she's always so negative. Are you beginning to see why she was so negative, Bill? I ask. Her love language is quality time. You have given her so little time that her love tank is empty. She doesn't feel secure in your love. I then explained to Bill that he had to learn her love language. He agreed, and here's what he did. On Bill's legal pad, the one on which he had listed the positive things about Betty Jo, he began a new list of things he knew that Betty Jo would like for him to do with her, activities she had mentioned through the years. Bill's list included 9 activities, including these top 3. 1, take our RV and spend a weekend in the mountains, sometimes with the children and sometimes just the two of us. 2, meet her for lunch at a nice restaurant or sometimes even at McDonald's. 3, get a babysitter and take her out to dinner, just the two of us. Bill showed me the list, and I gave him simple instructions to do each one of them. Do them 1 a week for the next 2 months, Bill. Where will you find the time? You will make it. You're a wise man, I continued. You would not be where you are if you were not a good decision maker. You have the ability to plan your life and to include Betty Jo in your plans. I know, Bill said. I can do it. The years have come and gone. Bill and Betty Jo have gone to the top and back, but the important thing is that they have done it together. The children have left the nest, and Bill and Betty Jo agree that these are their best years ever. Bill has become an avid symphony fan, and Betty Jo has made an unending list in her legal pad of things she appreciates about Bill. He never tires of hearing them. He has now started his own company and is near the top again. His job is no longer a threat to Betty Jo. She's excited about it and encourages him. She knows that she is number one in his life. Her love tank is full, and if it begins to get empty, she knows that a simple request on her part will get Bill's undivided attention. A central aspect of quality time is togetherness. I do not mean proximity. Two people sitting in the same room are in close proximity, but they are not necessarily together. Togetherness has to do with focused attention. When a father is sitting on the floor rolling a ball to his 2-year-old, his attention is not focused on the ball, but on the child. For that brief moment, however long it lasts, they are together. If, however, the father is talking on the phone while he rolls the ball, his attention is diluted. Some husbands and wives think they are spending time together, when in reality, they are only living in close proximity. They are in the same house at the same time, but they are not together. A husband who is watching sports on television while he talks to his wife is not giving her quality time, because she does not have his full attention. Quality time does not mean that we have to spend our together moments gazing into each other's eyes. It means that we are doing something together, and that we are giving our full attention to the other person. The activity in which we are both engaged is incidental. The important thing emotionally is that we are spending focused time with each other. The activity is a vehicle that creates the sense of togetherness. The important thing about the father rolling the ball to the 2-year-old is not the activity itself, but the emotions that are created between the father and his child. Similarly, a husband and wife playing tennis together, if it is genuine quality time, will focus not on the game, but on the fact that they are spending time together. What happens on the emotional level is what matters. Our spending time together in a common pursuit communicates that we care about each other, that we enjoy being with each other, that we like to do things together. Like words of affirmation, the language of quality time also has many dialects. One of the most common dialects is that of quality conversation. By quality conversation, I mean sympathetic dialogue, where two individuals are sharing their experiences, thoughts, feelings, and desires in a friendly, uninterrupted context. Most individuals who complain that their spouse does not talk do not mean literally that he or she never says a word. They mean that they seldom take part in sympathetic dialogue. If your spouse's primary love language is quality time, such dialogue is crucial to his or her emotional sense of being loved. Quality conversation is quite different from the first love language. Words of affirmation focus on what we are saying, whereas quality conversation focuses on what we are hearing. If I'm sharing my love with you by means of quality time, and we're going to spend that time in conversation, it means I will focus on drawing you out, listening sympathetically to what you have to say. I will ask questions, not in a badgering manner, but with genuine desire to understand your thoughts, feelings, and desires. Let's remember that marriage is primarily a relationship, and a relationship calls for sympathetic listening, with a view to understanding the other person's thoughts, feelings, and desires. Unfortunately, most of us have little training in listening. We are far more efficient in thinking and speaking. Learning to listen may be as difficult as learning a foreign language, but learn we must if we want to communicate love. That is especially true if your spouse's primary love language is quality time and his or her dialect is quality conversation. Fortunately, numerous books and articles have been written on developing the art of listening. I will not seek to repeat what is written elsewhere, but suggest 3 practical tips. First, maintain eye contact when your spouse is talking. That keeps your mind from wandering and communicates that he or she has your full attention. Second, Listen for feelings. Ask yourself, what emotion is my spouse experiencing? When you think you have the answer, confirm it by asking your partner. That gives him or her the chance to clarify his feelings. Third, observe body language. Clenched fist, trembling hands, tears, furrowed brows, and eye movement may give you clues as to what the other person is feeling. Sometimes, body language speaks one message, while words speaks another. Ask for clarification to make sure you know what she is really thinking and feeling. Quality conversation requires not only sympathetic listening, but also self-revelation. When a wife says, "I wish my husband would talk. I never know what he's thinking or feeling," she is pleading for intimacy. She wants to feel close to her husband. But how can she feel close to someone whom she doesn't know? In order for her to feel loved, he must learn to reveal himself. If her primary love language is quality time and her dialect is quality conversation, her emotional love tank will never be filled until he tells her some of his thoughts and feelings. Self-revelation does not come easy for some of us. Many adults grew up in homes where the expression of thoughts and feelings was not encouraged but condemned. By the time we reach adulthood, many of us have learned to deny our feelings. We are no longer in touch with our emotional selves. For those of us who grew up in this way, trying to learn the language of quality conversation is like learning a foreign language. We can do it, but we must begin by getting in touch with our own feelings, becoming aware that we are emotional creatures. If you need to learn the language of quality conversation, begin by noting the emotions you feel away from home. Carry a small notepad and keep it with you daily. 3 times each day, ask yourself, "What emotions have I felt in the last 3 hours? What did I feel on the way to work when the driver behind me was riding my bumper? What did I feel when I stopped at the gas station and the automatic pump did not shut off and the side of the car was covered with gas? What did I feel when I got to the office and found that my secretary had been assigned to a special work project for the morning? What did I feel when my supervisor told me that the project I was working on had to be completed in 3 days when I thought I had another 2 weeks?" Write down your feelings in the notepad and a word or two to help you remember the event corresponding to the feeling. Do that exercise 3 times a day, and you will develop an awareness of your emotional nature. Using your notepad, communicate your emotions and the events briefly to your spouse as many days as possible. In a few weeks, you will become comfortable expressing your emotions with him or her. In speaking the basic love language of quality time, or giving your spouse your undivided attention, there's another dialect called quality activities. That's how Bill learned to speak Betty Jo's language, by listing activities she likes to do with him and then doing them together. The emphasis is on being together, doing things together, giving each other undivided attention. Remember that quality activities may include anything in which one or both of you has an interest. The emphasis is not on what you're doing, but on why you're doing it. The purpose is to experience something together, to walk away from it feeling, "He cares about me. He was willing to do something with me that I enjoy, and he did it with a positive attitude." That is love, and for some people, it is love's loudest voice.